Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
It's about that time, yeah?
Oh, that's a good lead.
Believe it or not.
In today's installment of the chapter, there we go. Oh, man, God, Drew, give a guy a head's freaking up, will you? Jesus. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make the day make sense, whether Drew Jostad wants us to or not. That's all I'm saying.
That's exactly right. That's I'm Andy Euler. I'm in for Kimberly Adams. It feels like I'm the economics on tap, dude, for the last couple of weeks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, everybody, who's joining us on the podcast.
I'm out next Friday, too, so I don't know what's going on.
No, I know. I got that email, dude.
All right. Good.
Thanks for everybody watching us on the live stream for the Happy Hour Friday Economics on Tap, as we call it here. That's what we're doing.
We're going to do the news fix. We're going to do a little half full, half empty. Audience poll, I think, on the last one, unless you guys changed it up on me last Friday. We just do the last question. But this is America. We can do whatever we want. Let's do some news. Euler, you go first.
Sure thing. Are you drinking a beer?
Look at that. It's been so long since I've done a Friday. I forgot the whole spiel.
I'm drinking water.
Here's why. Thank God one of us is used to hosting this podcast,
sure.
Andy Euler.
Yeah, okay.
I'm drinking water because I was in Boston this morning. I flew yesterday, did an event at WBUR last night, got up at 5 o'clock this morning, Boston time, to make my plane back here, which is, of course, 2 o'clock in the morning, LA time. So I'm a little bit dragging. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. So there we go. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Guinness. I told you we had a cold front. Yeah, we had a cold front move in, which is why it's normally I have so much light in this window, and that's why everybody's like, why is Andy just sitting in the dark? Why not?
It does look a little sepulchral, I must say. It's very, very somber.
Sort of a vampire edition of Economics on Tap. I'm having a Guinness, and why the hell not? It's sort of like, for us, it's in the like high 60s, so that's like freezing
here in
Texas.
Chilly Willy, dude. I get it. Chilly Willy. All right, let's go with the news. You go.
Sure thing. Believe it or not, I'm going to talk about COP27. I'm going to talk about energy, and I'm going to talk about climate change. So basically, it sounds like thematically what's happening in Egypt right now is, for us, for somebody like me who works on a show like ours, it's nice because they're talking about finances all the time. It feels like this whole first week has been about rich countries paying basically reparations, right, for emitting all of the greenhouse gas emissions that we have over the last 150, 170 years since the Industrial Revolution, basically. And so there are conversations that are happening right now. It was super interesting because Joe Biden was in Egypt today for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And he sort of touted America's...
He was on the ground for three hours? Is that... Oh, wow.
He was.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And there's a nice political article that kind of wraps it up that we'll link to on the site. But basically what he was saying is, look, my commitment to this issue has been unwavering. The United States of America will meet our emission targets by 2030. That's going to be really hard, first of all.
Yeah.
Also... he didn't answer sort of the bigger question that a lot of the delegates were asking, which is, hey, rich countries like the United States, are y'all willing to pay and help and build funds for poorer countries, developing countries, that need help to meet these new standards? Are you going to help? Also, are you going to help places like Pakistan when things like floods happen as a result of climate change, right? So the big discussion right now is about sort of these countries, rich countries. And Scotland said that they were going to help. They said, we're you know, $2.2 million, which is great. But the sort of finger pointing that's happening right now, and it's appropriate finger pointing, right? It's like, hey, the United States, you guys have had a good run. And you're also super rich relative to other countries. Are you going to help us pay for it? And he didn't answer it. And so the discussion goes on, right? But I don't know what the answer is.
Right. And look, so the answer is that we, that is to say the global north and those of us who have done the lion's share of the emitting the last 100 and whatever the industrial age is old years, it's our moral debt, right? The problem is, specifically in this country, but I would bet you in many other developed nations as well, there are other things that different parts of the political spectrum want to spend money on. And the challenge for Biden now is going to be getting any kind of spending plan through Congress which will let him spend the money on people who are not us. Because that's just the way – I mean, you can hear the debate, right? You know how it's going to go.
Well, and we even saw it, right? It was that Biden had pledged almost $12 billion in international finance. The Democrats approved $1 billion of it in March.
Right.
And so you're exactly right. That's the discussion. That's the difficulty. And it's, you know, obviously it's tragedy of the commons all over again, right? It's
exactly.
This is our world. Right. Are we going to figure it out? And what do you got?
Yep. So mine is, it just kind of grabbed me the other day. So some divers, this was in the New York Times. I've seen it elsewhere since, but the Times had the story first, I think. Some divers in Florida in the Bermuda Triangle found a piece of the Space Shuttle Challenger, like whatever it is, 30 years after it happened. Kind of blew me away. We all remember the Challenger exploded in 1986, killing all seven people aboard, including Kristen McAuliffe, the teacher in space, that whole thing. It's incredible to me that they are just now, 30-ish years later, 35 now, finding this thing. It's unbelievable. It's just crazy. We will put a link on the show page. Read the piece. It'll take you right back to where you were when you saw or heard about that happening. I don't even know. What were you? You were like in fifth grade or something? Shut up.
86. I was four. Come on. You say heard about it. My parents heard about it, dude.
God. Oh, my God.
Hold on. What happened that they found? Was it straight up just divers? What is the?
Yeah. So they were diving as part of a documentary looking for World War II era airplanes in the Bermuda Triangle. And they got down there. And apparently the first day they got down there, it was really murky and the guy couldn't see. He just felt something big and flat. And so they left it there, came back the next day, and they saw what it was. And it turns out to have been a big chunk of the bottom of the space shuttle. It's like 15 by 15, which is huge. And number one, it's kind of amazing that NASA didn't know it was missing. Maybe they did and they just didn't tell anybody because it's been 35 years.
And it's the Bermuda
but they went
Triangle,
back and they found it. Right, exactly. But they're not saying exactly where it is because they don't want it to be disturbed. NASA's going to come get it. It's obviously still NASA's property. Just kind of wild.
You want to play again?
Just a cool story. Cool story. Let's play again. Troops. Come on. All right, half full, half empty. Drew Jostat's in charge. Last question is YouTube live stream audience gets to play along.
Yep.
Mr. Jostat, you are on.
Are you half full or half empty on what it's like to be verified right now on Twitter?
It's funny. Kimberly and I were talking about this yesterday, right? And there was that big Eli Lilly story. Pretty awful. About insulin, sort of a fake account. If you guys didn't hear it, go back and listen to the podcast. But also, apparently, a fake account tweeted out that from an Eli Lilly, what appeared to be an Eli Lilly sort of official account, insulin is free. Everybody freaked out because then Eli Lilly came back and said, you know, it was a farce.
No, it's not.
Exactly.
And Lilly, in corporate news, Lilly lost 4.5% today, right? Because people are screwing around on Twitter with verified but not really verified accounts. And you're like, come on, man.
I mean, I'm half empty, Kai. What? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I think it is a mess of Elon Musk's own making. I think he deserves every dime of the $44 billion that he will lose manipulating this company into the ground. And it's really a shame because, look, for all of its problems, it's a valuable resource if you have the time and the energy to curate it the right way. And it's kind of a shame that it's going to go away.
Well, for folks in our line of work, man, it's,
Oh, yeah. It's valuable. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I will for sure be putting my $8 a month on my corporate expense account. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that. Anyway,
what's next,
all right, Drew, what's next?
All right. Are you half full or half empty in hindsight of the political coverage in the run-up to the midterms?
Oh, interesting question.
What do you
think? Question. Look, I was on the I think there's going to be a red wave. Nancy Fargali, the executive producer in Marketplace, and I had a little side bet on how many seats the Dems were going to lose. We did over under, and I was over 15, and she was under 15, and she wins because you know we in the media got it wrong. And look, I'm just glad I'm not a political journalist right now. You know,
I was thinking the same thing. I went to the Valley, the Valley in South Texas, and talked to people about it. And even being down there talking to people, there is a shift in attitude that has been, you know, that part of Texas, believe it or not, is super, super blue traditionally. Mm-hmm. And there was a change in attitude, and the Republicans actually dumped a whole ton of money into.
Yeah.
I think they figured out that they might have an opportunity, and they ended up picking up a couple of seats and picking up a couple of state representatives as well. And which is, you know, in somewhere in South Texas is a big deal, but it wasn't sort of you're right. The rhetoric from the right was more, it was just more, in fact, I'm half empty on sort of the coverage. 'Cause it felt like it was a foregone conclusion.
I think that's right. Drew, number three.
Half full or half empty on the $2.04 billion Powerball.
So it turns out, that's exactly right. So in the family text on whenever it was that winning thing was drawn, my wife texts me and the kids, and she says, it was in Altadena. And then one of my kids goes, Grandma! But it was because my grandmother, my mother-in-law lives in Altadena. It was not my mother-in-law, because if it was my mother-in-law, I would not be sitting here doing this podcast. Love you all, though I do. Had my mother-in-law won $2 billion. Look, I absolutely more power to whoever won.
Sure.
You know, setting aside for a second the fact that lotteries are regressive and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I mean, I get all that. Yeah. So there you go. So
I'm with you, too. It's so funny because two people that I used to work with in Marketplace, I did the exact same thing. I was like, Arjuna, you won, right? And Ben Talladay said the same thing. They said it was Altadena. Clearly this is you.
Yep.
That's the token reaction it has to be. What do you
funny. I think I've told this. Super quick story.
Sure.
So my best friend, when we were living together in Washington, D.C. after we got out of college, he had to go in for some vaccination or something, whatever. And the nurse said to him, okay, I have to tell you, you know, full disclosure, there's like a 1 in 2 million chance you're actually going to get this disease, whatever the vaccination was. And he said, oh, you know, that's okay, because it's 1 in 2 million odds that I'm going to win the lottery, too. And I'm kind of counting on that. So it's, you know, it's all right. Yeah. Anyway, Drew, go ahead. Sorry. Question number four.
Half full or half empty on Zoom meetings in a movie theater?
Oh, man. Yeah, so this is that AMC Zoom team up where you can do Zoom meetings in a theater. Matt Levin did that story. Did actually a great story because he came out of it with a teaser of, you know, in a world where you're in a Zoom in a theater.
Yeah, sure.
I'm half empty. I don't even want to do Zooms in the privacy of my own shed attached to my garage.
Dude.
Forget freaking in a room.
I'm absolutely with you too. It's like, and it's Zoom, you know, sort of Zoom exhaust. I'm sure Zoom fatigue, but
totally.
No, dude, totally. I don't want to like. Yeah, you have to convince me to go into the guest room to get on.
Yeah.
In a very dark guest room and get on.
Right.
I'm with you. I'm half empty.
Totally.
What's the last one?
Totally. All right. So this is the last one. Let's all you YouTubers who are there. We're gonna do the poll.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Euler and I will withhold our judgment until you guys have had like 30 seconds to answer.
Absolutely.
But anyway, Drew, what's the last one?
Are you half full or half empty on the government providing everybody those little I voted stickers?
Really? That's the question? I know it's not you, Drew. I know it's Bridget, or it's not actually Bridget. It's probably Marissa this time. I don't know. All right. Okay. All right. So, poll is in there. All sure. Y'all answer. I'm going to have to pull up the Slack because Emily, whoever's going to have to put it in the Slack because I can't figure out how to, you know, do like two things at once. Unless it like it's posted to the top. Anyway. All right. 10 more seconds and then you and I are going to answer. That's what I'm saying. There's the poll.
Yep.
There's the poll. Of course, it says just zero votes. What the, I guess I can vote, right? Can I vote? Yeah, I can vote.
Oh, there's plenty. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to be able to vote. Can I vote twice? I probably could vote twice, couldn't I? Vote early, vote often.
You're not doing it right if you don't vote twice, right?
That's right. That's right. Look at that. Jody Pritchard is full on this one. She was an election worker and people loved them.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. All right, Drew. I mean, Mr. Euler, you half full, half empty.
That's my uncle's comedy, Drew. It's totally fine.
Really?
I am.
That's funny.
I am sure. I mean, yeah, I'm half full on that. Why, you know, Are you worried about, are we worried about sort of the tax dollars? I think that's fine. Yeah, it's great.
I'm not worried about any of that. It's minuscule compared to all the other things we spend money on.
Well, and then you wear your I voted sticker and you get like 20% off at Chipotle or whatever the hell it is. Like,
that would be
you
good.
Know.
That would be good.
I'm all the way full. I'm not
all
kidding.
All the way full. Seriously?
Yeah.
Man, I need to go to Chipotle more. Holy cow. I'm all the way full. Look, it's a civic good, and as I've said before, I'm all about the communal experience of voting as a community. I think it's sure. all good, and if that gets people out, that's fine. I mean, that's not what gets people out, I suppose. But anyway, so here's where we are. Yeah. See, we had 196 votes, 77% half full, 23% half empty. I'm going to need to hear from the half empty people in the chat. Why are you half empty on this one? Come on. Right? Pizzo. Love the stickers, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
That's Sherry K. Free I voted tattoo. No, Jason Perringer, we're not doing free I voted tattoos.
No.
Man. Max Marquardt, who I guess is a little bit of a grouch. Is it really that important to tell others how much you care instead of being a passive fart in the wind? Well, Maxwell?
Sure.
I don't know. Anyway, just go vote. Sticker or no.
Post it on Instagram, right? Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Put it on Instagram like we do in the 21st century. Enough of this freaking sticker stuff. All right, that's it for us today. Kimberly and I are back on Monday.
Right.
If you've got questions you want to get in the hopper for What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, if you've got comments, if you've got critiques, if you've got suggestions, mm-hmm. if you've got anything at all, let us know, please.
That's right. 508-UB-SMART. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. You can email makemesmart@marketplace.org as well, at your leisure.
At your leisure. No, Sherry K, what they do in Australia is they fine you $5 if you don't vote. That's true.
Love it.
It's mandatory in Australia. Yeah, fine you $5. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera and Courtney Bergsicker. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad, who also wrote the theme music to Half Full, Half Empty, which is our game that we play on this pod on Fridays.
That's right. The team behind our Friday game is Mel Rosenberg and Emily McCune. Bridget Bodner is our senior producer, but she is right now working on Million Bazillion. Can't wait to hear what is going to happen there. Our director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
Emily Abraham votes by mail. The sticker goes straight in the trash. Okay. All right. Well, that's fair. Tiny Hand says they don't stick to clothes, then they fall off and cause litter. They stick to my clothes.
Okay.
Give them to the kids. Give them to the kids.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.